Okay, let's go. We're probably, if we can keep this one a little shorter, I guess. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Hello, and welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. This is episode number 138 for June 26th, 2008. I am your host, Logan Decker, and I'm joined today by Senior Associate Editor Dan Stapleton and Podcast Producer Andy Bauman.
Everyone else, say hello.
Nope, you don't. Everyone else is either pursuing stories abroad or answering for their crimes in The Hague. Say hi to everybody, Dan.
Hi, everybody.
And let's hear it from Andy.
What's up?
He wasn't ready for that.
I wasn't.
On Andy Bauman on the spot.
See, Logan, this is why we need a rigid routine.
You break the mold, and you don't know what you're going to get.
You know
any,
what?
Any deviation leads to dire situations.
Pets love rigid routines. Have you noticed that? Like, cats and dogs both respond really well. When you get up at the same time every day, when you go to bed at the same time, same walks at the same time every day.
And if you don't, they will make you suffer.
They do. They do. My mom's cat, if she sleeps in at all, the cat sits on her chest and just gently puts one paw on both her nostrils. It's a huge cat.
And just trying puts to snuff the paw, her, dude.
Yeah, puts the paw right on her nose and pushes down. And she says kind of gently, doesn't swat, just sits there and uses one paw and depresses her nose. And then she says she wakes up kind of like, like that.
Oh, no.
And,
well, I'm just glad that we finally heard a Logan animal story that doesn't involve squirrels.
Oh, and squirrels. Let me tell you about this.
I don't have
a good squirrel story.
Also a first.
But you know what? What do you want to talk about?
I was thinking, games or something.
Oh, all right. Well, how about this? How about Microsoft pushing PC gaming with new games for Windows branded titles?
Hooray!
What?
Sort of.
All right, sort of. Let's talk about that. Microsoft yesterday held the Big Picture event in San Francisco where they unveiled 16 new games for Windows titles. Why does that elicit laughter?
Oh, it's just one of these things where it's like, we're all right, and then we probably knew about all these games, and then Microsoft's like, guess what?
Yeah, well, I mean, they weren't announcing the games themselves. They were announcing that they were going to be games for Windows titles.
Yeah,
which is kind of irrelevant in a lot of ways. It's relevant from like a marketing standpoint, but to gamers, we already knew these games were coming. So, okay, you know what the box is kind of going to look like now. We're still going to beat the games the same way, but
we did get a peek at a handful of them, which was nice, including colonization.
Yeah, well, I had already seen that in depth. We did get to see some Call of Duty World at War, which looks a lot like Call of Duty 4, except in World War II. We got to see a little bit of
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Got to play a little bit of Bionic Commando, but the PC controls weren't in yet, so, yeah. And what else did we see? We saw a couple of other games. There were... Space Siege was on display.
Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, Kung Fu Panda. No, Space Siege was on display. We're working on that review now, actually. And a few other things. NVIDIA and ATI were both there showing off some stuff. NVIDIA had some very cool physics stuff to demonstrate, like cloth simulations and gelatinous body.
Yeah, NVIDIA was also introducing the 9000 series mobile chip.
Right.
And so, yeah, they had Devil May Cry 4 playing on a nice Toshiba laptop at very silky frame rate. That was nice to see. And, and of course, the 9000 series chips will also have physics built into it. So,
well, and anything, 8 series and higher will. So.
Yeah.
And they were, demonstrating a few of those things. One of the things that they said that was very interesting, I thought, was since they're not charging anybody anything to use CUDA, mm-hmm. And they're using the GPU functionality for other applications. And that includes ATI. So PhysX and CUDA are free to anyone. So if ATI wanted to adopt those systems and support PhysX in all game, you know, all gaming hardware could then support this PhysX technology, which would, you know, let all developers just assume that if they're requiring a graphics card of a certain caliber, if that, you know, once that gets to a point where they can assume that you're going to have physics acceleration, all games are just going to, you know, they're just going to be able to say, okay, everybody that's going to play this game is going to have physics acceleration, so you're going to be able to integrate really complex physics stuff and like gameplay into your games, which I think is a huge step forward.
Absolutely.
Of course, ATI.
Now, will they do it? Yeah.
Yeah, ATI has not said anything about whether they're going to do that.
This might sting a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, it wouldn't hurt them, really. I mean, It would be acknowledging that NVIDIA came up with something good, or, you know, they bought something, came up with something good, but it's not costing them anything.
No, not
so,
at all.
So, actually, there would be really no reason for them not to. You know? I guess that the really disappointing thing about all this is the physics acceleration in these cards is it only works with PhysX, so things like Havoc just aren't going to play well with it. So those are still going to lean on your CPU.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a little bit disappointing. So, you know, there's still some competition there. I don't know, though. I think Havoc is going to have an awful hard time competing in the near future, just based on...
It's going to have a really difficult time. I mean, it's got a huge user base already, which... Right. is a help, but you know, I think when people see the amount, the orders of magnitude in which physics can be accelerated on a GPU, on a high-end NVIDIA card, it's pretty compelling stuff when you see it in action.
Yeah,
but developers don't you think they're gonna be really wary of integrating physics into gameplay, you know, because it's still such a tiny fraction of people who have the cards, you know. And you don't want to cut off your audience by putting in something, you know.
Right, it is going to be a couple of years. I mean, because I mean, if the industry has learned anything from Blizzard, it's that you want to hit, we want to have a broad spectrum of people that, you know, regardless of their hardware, can play your game. More and more people are you know, making their game scalable. So it'll be several years before it's standardized. But yeah.
Becomes standardized, it's tough to say. If ATI were to adopt it, yeah, it'd be a slam dunk. But
yeah, I mean, this is an important first step in that process.
Yeah. Yesterday, Dan and I also got to talk to Kevin Unangst, who's the senior global director of games for Windows. And when we talked to Kevin before and got the usual yada yada from Microsoft about games for Windows, yeah. Everything's going wonderfully. But this time we got a little one-on-one interview with him. We got to ask him some considerably tougher questions about the Game for Windows initiative and its progress or lack thereof. And you can read our questions online today. It should be posted by the end of the day today, gamesradar.com/PC. You can pick up the interview there and hear what he has to say about the future of Games for Windows and some interesting hints about Games for Windows Live.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you would expect from Microsoft, there's not a whole lot they can say about their plans. Mm-hmm. They certainly sound optimistic. We're a little bit skeptical just because we have heard so much from them before. they kind of acknowledge that they screwed up in setting expectations so high the last time around. And then, you know, now they're saying, oh, okay, that last round of marketing they did wasn't really aimed at the hardcore gamers. You know, mm-hmm. These are people like, you know, people that are listening to this podcast are all people that are into PC gaming anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, they don't really need to be marketed to. They don't need to be sold on the concept.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, the concept of the PC as a gaming platform, you know.
Right.
So he was making the point, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt. But
he was making the point that to
the average Joe who goes to Walmart, you know, hey, the PC is a gaming platform and you've already got it. So, you know, that was their first round, but he did seem to strongly suggest that they've got something for hardcores coming up, you know, and some good initiatives with Games for Windows Live. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll really believe it when we see it, but
yeah.
You know.
But check out the interview. It's really interesting. It's at, again, www.gamesradar.com/PC.
I wonder if they're scared if they announce anything that Steam will just do it first.
Well, Steam's already done it all first.
That's true. I mean, everything they promised before, Steam was like, oh yeah, here you go, here you go, here you go. And they're like, okay,
I mean,
we got to stop.
He did say that they're looking at all that. They're looking at, you know, GPG.net. They're looking at Steam.
Battle.net, Steam.
Yeah. And he says, and we're, you know, we understand what people like about those things, and we're going to do that and more. We'll see. You know, yeah. So, but you know, but they just like us, they know what's attractive about these services. So, what their next step is going to be, it's hard to say.
I think it will be very interesting to see if they end up going free with the service, because I think they probably will, but there's no way to they don't say anything about it. They're, you know, they're kind of, you know, we've got big things planned, wink wink.
Yeah, but it would be mind blowing if they didn't make it free. I mean, that would just blow me away, because just shooting yourself in the foot, really, because it's always, I mean, like it or not, it's always been free, that kind of stuff on the PC, you know, always has been. And
if you are going to charge a fee for it, it damn well better be everything, be better than everything that's free.
Oh, it better, like, no, I'm not going to say
exponentially
it,
better. Yeah. And at the moment, it is not.
No, it is not.
So also something to look out for tomorrow on GamesRadar/PC, we're putting up the Crisis Warhead story. The full preview, you know, without all the screenshots. You have to get the magazine to see all the screenshots, but all the full preview, including the interview with Shavat Yearly about, you know, their process in creating the game and how they dealt with the reception of Crisis and things like that. It's a very, very interesting read. So check it out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And on to the next thing.
As it turns out, there's not all that much interest in the Grand Theft Auto San Andreas Hot Coffee lawsuit. Let's see. How much would you have gotten if you signed up?
You know, I'm not sure. What was it, like 30 bucks?
I think
bucks?
It was $5.
Well, there were like different degrees of it. Okay, so just a little backstory. This is the settlement that Rockstar agreed to over Hot Coffee, where you know, people that were really offended over the content that you had to mod the game to get anywhere near.
So after they modded it, they were absolutely horrified at what they had done. And
yeah. So people that were really offended about that could get, you know, some compensation for their trauma.
So I think you got $5 if you didn't have a receipt and $35 if you did and decided you were horribly offended by what you had seen after you modded the game to make sure that you could see it. And as it turns out, only 2,676 people filed a claim. So
out of the many, many, many millions of people that purchased this game.
So Take-Two is going to pay out about $30,000.
Which pales in comparison to all the legal fees they had to pay for.
Probably ran into the millions.
Yeah.
Plus they had to... didn't they have to rebox the game?
They did. They had to pull it off the shelves you know, not just rebox the game. They put stickers on the original run to say AO, and then they had to make a new run of the game. They had to make a new version, and you know, reprint the disc and everything with all the Hot Coffee stuff taken out. So that was a huge expense for them as well.
But it's hard to, I mean, one can't overlook that $5 will buy you 2 cups of actual hot coffee.
Unless you go to Starbucks, in which case, 1 cup.
One, but, you know, and maybe enough for the little tip jar they've got on the counter.
But I mean, doesn't this really just highlight how stupid this entire thing was?
2,676 people.
Yeah, and how many of them are, do you suppose, are just the people out of all those millions? So it's, you know, less than 1% of how many of them are just the people that say, "Oh, free money." You know, I wasn't offended by this, but I'll take free money. You know, it's just stupid.
So does this mean you can offend people but only pay $5 for the privilege? Like, I can say, "Dan, your mother is a slutty camel," and now I have to pay you $5, and then and you can't sue me.
I will take your money. and I will run this service for anybody.
She's actually a nice gal.
Do you think that dude who like has the exclamation points on his suit and like he's like free money, it's everywhere? I bet he got in on that.
No, I mean I think this just underscores just how out of proportion the whole thing was blown. Nobody cares. You know, there are a couple of you know, loudmouth conservative, fundamentalist, puritanical people that are just so upset about, the idea of sex. And even in a game that is, based on some horrific violence, there's such a small minority of people that are offended by this. For it to be such a huge issue just boggles my mind.
Yeah. Well, I think people did care when they heard that there was a game that was very, very popular that had sexual content hidden inside. But, once they found out, oh, wait a minute, the game was, rated M for mature, and you had to mod the game.
The people that made a big deal about this didn't understand any of that.
What I'm saying is that
They still don't understand it. They didn't learn.
The popular idea that this was some horrific crime, perpetrated on the American people just sort of dissipates.
Well, and even beyond that, I'm
watching Dan's mind being boggled right now. I'm seeing a buckle.
Yeah, I am too annoyed by this whole situation to even articulate how annoyed I am.
Pink and green. Buggles are pink and green.
These people didn't care, what the nature of this content was. They probably never saw it, because if they did, they would have seen that it's less scandalous than something that's on Cinemax after 10 p.m. It's the same exact thing that happened with Mass Effect. It's a really kind of, it's just not that graphic, and people go on TV and say, "Oh my God, it's pornography," and just blow it way out of proportion. There's a public perception of it that's completely off the mark, and it gets blown out of proportion. It just drives me absolutely insane.
Well, now we can turn our attention to the other important court case, which is the one happening in Greece, where the lesbians are very upset over the use of the word lesbian. The citizens of the Isle of Lesbos are suing somebody, I don't know who, and asking lesbians to stop using the word lesbian because they're lesbians, but they're not lesbians.
I think Logan is reading off the wrong Delicious page.
I just think, it's I look forward to hearing how that's going to
Did you accidentally click on dig, Logan? Is that
No, I'm just wondering, what are they going to do about that? People have been calling them lesbians since the age of lesbianism. Anyway,
keep
that's
it alive.
Enough about
keep it alive.
Yes, keep it alive.
Wait, is that for real? Where did you hear about that?
Oh, no, it's true. Real. Yeah, it's true. I forget who they're complaining to, but the
no, it was some it was some gay rights organization that used the word lesbian in the name. Yeah, all you have to do to find out about this is Google the word lesbian and
Blizzard is introducing an interesting measure for security. It's called the Blizzard Authenticator. It's what are they? I've seen people use them before. If you business. People, it's a small tool that you carry. You can carry it on your keychain. It's sort of a little bigger than a USB flash drive. And every time you want to log on, you press a button on this device, and it gives you an authentication code, which you can use to activate your account. This is necessary exactly?
Well, you get people that are really invested in their accounts, they spend literally thousands of hours on these characters, and if that account gets hacked and their stuff gets stolen, that's devastating.
That is devastating. Okay, right. I get that.
So, in order to prevent that, they've gone to the next level of security, which is this, and I guess it's available. I only saw pricing in pounds, which was like
I think it's $6.50 US.
Six
I think.
Euros.
I thought that was in pounds.
It's in euros.
Well, anyway, it's
oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, it's a nominal charge, like less than $20, that will give you peace of mind.
It's a dongle, basically, huh?
Plus, when you're out and about, you can look for that telltale sign of somebody else's, wowness, and it could be like a new dating thing, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think you'll see
anybody on someone's keychain, you know.
Uh-huh, and you're like, I see. Are you the foxy little?
That'll be like a really rare sighting if someone's spending that much time in WoW. You're not going to see them out and about. it's going to be you have to plant yourself and wait for the right time.
Shouldn't you be poop talking?
Yeah, if you go into somebody's basement and you see this on somebody's keychain, you'll know they're yeah. Anyway, but I mean, it's really kind of a indication of how seriously people take this. You know, it's like there's stronger protection on these people's WoW accounts than there is on their bank accounts. Yeah, their social security number is readily accessible, but this, no, you cannot have this.
Oh no, you don't. The New York Senate, it just passed a video game bill, 61-1. Yes, another video game bill.
Which is not at all surprising, because they all pass almost unanimously. And yeah. because there's usually one like state legislator who knows, but has some clue of what's going on.
Do you know the story on this one?
This one is actually much, much more tame than all previous ones. All this one is requiring is that... like consoles that all future consoles being sold need to have parental controls, which Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo are all on top of already, and that games display the ESRB rating on the box, which 99.5% of all the games I've ever seen are already on top of. So to me, this smacks of really unnecessary legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, this one isn't really infringing on anybody's rights so much, I don't think,
It sounds like they were just trying to blow steam after the whole telecom immunity argument, you know. And
well, this isn't the United States Senate.
Oh, this is New York.
This is just New York. So, but yeah, it's pointless. You know, I don't see this as affecting anything because it's already all in effect. It's like you must brush your teeth twice a day. Well, I already do, so. It would be nice to have the freedom not to, because I mean the ESRB is a voluntary, you know, it's a self-policing, self-regulating system. So
yeah, but I don't want my tax dollars going to filling your cavities. You know what I mean? I'm tired of it.
Yeah, but I don't know why they felt this was necessary, really. And I do expect that it will be challenged and probably defeated in court, just because the government really doesn't have that authority so much, I don't think. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they do. I'm not entirely sure what the government's authority is in terms of requiring parental controls on a entertainment device. You know, it's like they don't require parental controls on a DVD player. Mm-hmm. So, do they have the authority to do that on a game player? I don't know. Mm-hmm. It is a double standard.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see it challenged just because it is a double standard.
They've got lots of those double standards on games.
And also just, you know, maybe it will help to discourage them from passing unnecessary laws. Because we don't need more laws, we need enforcing the ones that we have. That would be nice. Except for the dumb ones that we have. We can not enforce those. That would be good.
Like the ones like where you can't walk your elephant down Main Street on a Tuesday or something like that.
Those are the ones.
Yeah, the classics. A terrifying mod, Quake 3 crashing into Springfield. Let's see. I don't know about you, but this is scary.
Have you watched it?
Yeah, well, yeah, I've watched it.
Yeah, that's an amazing detail, level detail on that mod. What they've done is they've gone in and created, you know, at least a big chunk of Springfield from The Simpsons on there, and they've modeled the Simpsons house with amazing detail. Like they've even got, you know, Bart's Everyone Gets a Trophy Day trophy on his shelf. It's just brilliant. And you know, you can run around, you know, with, you know, Simpsons characters with shotguns shooting each other. You know, but it, you know, I haven't gotten in there yet, but I'm gonna have to go in and just look around. You know,
you can download the just go ahead if you type in Quake 3 and Springfield and The Simpsons in Google, you can find the download for the mod for Quake 3. And the detail is amazing. I don't know who worked on this, but they did a fantastic job.
I wonder if I wonder if Quake Live, when that comes out, the new like web-based one. I wonder if that will support mods. It would be pretty tricky to get it to support it, I imagine.
Yeah, it would be.
But if they can do it, it'd be awesome. Especially if like people can. I don't really know that much about it yet. But if people could make their own put it on their own website, mm-hmm. Of a modded version of it. I don't know. Maybe they'll have that in the future.
You with us, Andy?
Oh yeah.
Or are you poop socking?
I was thinking about how. Do you remember when Quake 3 first came out? Everybody was like, "Oh, they render the arches so archily."
That's true. That was like the first game to have any curved geometry.
Yeah, does it work in this? Are the doors all curvy and pretty?
Yeah, and like half the doors in the Simpsons house are curved.
Yeah, totally. I bet it does a really good job of rendering it.
Yeah, they did and it looks fantastic. You know, they nailed the art style.
I like that word, archily.
Totally.
I hope to get to use that sometime.
I'll be here all day. Future.
It sounds like something from the Venture Brothers with the arch villains. It's like they have you seen that show at all?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, they have like the arch villains that they use the verb to arch someone. It's great. So there was a story in Variety on their website. Which is run by reporter and reviews editor Ben Fritz, who tracks the business of games and their intersection with Hollywood. And he took offense with upon seeing the press release from the Games for Windows event that we were discussing earlier. He saw the description of Sid Meier's Civilization IV Colonization. And he says, "I literally exclaimed, 'Holy bleep,' out loud. When I was reading the email," he says, "But goddammit, am I the only one who thinks it's morally disturbing that a game that to make a game that celebrates colonization?" It's ironic, actually, because a few months ago, a friend sent me a link to some information about the original colonization, and this is update. I thought this had to be a joke, but sure enough, it was real. He's all offended about. Just the historical, the historical implications of it, because that there was the genocide of the Native Americans involved, the European colonization in general was kind of a dirty business. However, it's history, and by this guy's logic, we should not have any games based on any historical events, World War II included, why not? The whole Civilization series, that's offensive because bad things happened in history. We shouldn't
you
have
go,
any of that.
Dan.
And it's just really kind of a lame argument. I mean, he's saying that you're either forcing players to reenact the horrific acts of history, or to avoid them, and therefore whitewashing the horrific acts of history and making history seem all nice and fun, which is and he says both of those are offensive, which screw you, but
So in the new game you just run around apologizing.
Yeah, that's I don't know. Does this guy have the same problem with Grand Theft Auto or with any game where there's crime or violence? I mean, there's no disputing that yes, there were bad things happening then. But I mean, come on, it's history. It's just stupid to. I mean, for one thing, by ignoring stuff like this, you're inviting it to repeat itself. If people don't learn about the history, by letting people go back and do things by not massacring Native Americans, I don't see that as a bad thing. It's like, hey, you could do this in a nonviolent way. That's not whitewashing history.
You're not beholden to any. To doing anything in particular. It's a simulator. It's a simulator of people interacting, sometimes in horrific ways. Yes, it can be played that way.
But this whole argument.
Do you know his name?
His name is.
Dude, lighten up.
It's Ben Fritz.
Well, this
Ben, lighten up.
Reading this article, it spurs my interest in bringing this up, especially with you guys, about how, God damn it, am I the only one who thinks it's morally disturbing when people who don't actually know anything about video games write about video games?
Well, I mean, he might know something about games, but he obviously didn't know anything about that it was that there was an original colonization.
He's writing for Variety, and that they don't have anything about video games, you know? And, like, sure, they started this blog, and who knows what this blog is about, and who knows how long it's been around, but it's not, like, real games writing, you know? And I always feel like when these guys come around, they always have to find something that, like, they can write about that's not really about gaming, but about gaming. I don't know.
I know. I have a hard time saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't be writing about games.
No, yeah. I maybe that's not the way I meant to say it. I just wanted to know your feelings on these kind of guys. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean, he really drills down into some.
He does have an argument. It's
sure.
Just,
yeah, absolutely.
In my opinion, it is hypersensitive, and it is.
He says, "I'm not even getting into the offensiveness of using uncritically the phrase "new world" in the marketing material." It's like, dude, come on, catch up, get over it.
Yeah,
you know what? We also turned the map upside down hundreds of years ago because we wanted North America to be on top. I just relax. It's okay. It's a game. It's not a history book. It's a simulator.
I don't think that anybody is going to play this game and get the. And you know, this is as somebody who's played it firsthand. I don't think anybody is going to play it and get the idea that, oh, you know, it was a happy time then when the Europeans came in
we saved these savages from themselves.
Yeah, or you know, they all had a happy picnic dance together. You know, that's not the impression you're getting. It's also not giving you the impression that it was okay to kill all the
yeah,
Native Americans.
I mean,
because at least in the original, I never finished a game in this one, but in the original, you were deducted points for each Native village you destroyed. In the when it tabulates your score. So it's definitely saying don't do that. So
yeah, but I think the main thing I would say is that because this is a game, because this is a simulator, but I would say a game first, it doesn't have necessarily a linear storyline that is being told or promoted. So, I mean, I understand this guy's beef, but, you know, it's different than a book. It's different than a movie. It's not saying this, you know, this is how you should feel about this. This is how things happened. You know, it gives you an experience of something and lets you play with all the variables.
Well, at the same time, though, it does kind of whitewash some parts of it. I mean, it does not have slavery in there. They have okay, indentured yeah. servitude, but they don't have slavery, oh. which and you can totally understand why.
they
also don't, as this guy says, you know, I'm sure they don't have an opportunity to introduce smallpox, and no, of course they don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so in some ways it is kind of a lightened look at the, you know, the events of history. But it's, you know, it is a game. You know, you can take some creative license with history, and it is, you know, it's just like, it's like writing a historical fiction book. You know, and if you write things that didn't really happen in a setting that really did happen, is that morally wrong? No. You know, what, one other thing, just as a quick aside, when I was up there at Firaxis, one thing they were kind of considering. Or you know, thinking about anyway, was when it came time to submit for ESRB approval, they in this game that you produce trade goods like cotton and sugar and ore and things like that, and then refine them into processed goods and sell them back to the old world. A couple of those goods are, you know, you can raise tobacco, and you can raise sugar, which you then refine into cigars and rum. And they were a little bit worried that the ESRB is going to consider that, you know, smoking and drinking, you know, when they rate it, which is really stupid because nobody's actually using it in the game, first of all. Second of all, it's history. Mm-hmm. You know, this happens. And, you know, it's not that if the ESRB, you know, puts that label on it, you know, those content descriptors, I will be pretty outraged at the SRP.
And you don't want to get Dan outraged because you get a rant. He'll put the smackdown on you.
It will be very unfortunate if they do that.
Oh, we also got a peek at Stalker Clear Sky.
Oh, yeah. It was just a tech demo kind of thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't any gameplay, but...
But it looked fantastic.
NVIDIA was using it to show off some of their higher-end graphics cards with the number of polygons they were using in scenes was like doubled or tripled from the first game, so they're being pretty ambitious with it, and it was running very smoothly on the GTX 280 they were showing off DX10 effects. They had God Rays in there and everything. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it looked beautiful. In a separate, completely separate announcement, Novant Falcon, who makes the Novant Falcon controller, it's a force feedback controller that was reviewed a few months ago here in PC Gamer. It's a really fantastic force feedback device. They call it a haptic controller, meaning, you know, it replicates a sense of touch. You hold this sort of ball and you can feel surfaces by how much resistance the ball gives you when you're holding it in your hand. Now they even have a pistol grip for it, which makes it an almost perfect product.
Well, I don't know, though. Why would I want to feel resistance on my pistol? I mean, is it doing...
when you pull the trigger,
you
get
kicking.
The kick.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, this thing has monstrous motors.
Really?
You really have to use it to appreciate it. You have to have it in your hand. You know, they bring it around. They're going to have it at our showdown events, I think.
Cool.
And they're going to be releasing a special version of it, I believe, with the orange box, which is a clever idea. I'm not sure that I want to go traipsing around in Team Fortress 2 using just this controller, but it certainly makes for a fun weekend.
Be a little bit more interactive, you know, a little more immersion. Oh, I'm always for that. Although, what was the price point on the last one?
$200.
Yeah, it did not look cheap.
No, it wasn't. And it was a nice, sturdy build, but, you know, $200 is a lot of money.
And is that something that works with any game, or does a game need specific
The game stuff? Needs to be, yeah, the game needs to be, to
Coded
be...
to handle it. So what was the ideal game for the Falcon?
Half-Life 2 has been... adapted for it, and it worked. It's fantastic, you know, especially speedboat scenes. Yeah, the gravity gun. It's pretty amazing, you know, when you use it. It's you really get the idea of why they believe in this thing, and it's just $200. That's a
bit much for something that doesn't work on all games.
Yeah, but we'll
see.
Which
is the same problem.
I mean, it's amazing. They're in the demo that comes with the Falcon. You have a giant sphere, and you can turn it into any substance. You can turn it into metal. So when you use the controller controls a little virtual hand, and you put your hand up against the metal ball, and you feel like you're hitting metal. And then you turn it into water, and you smash it with the hand, and your hand, it gives you the feeling of hitting water, being stopped, and then slowly sinking in. Really is effective. So I would love to see, you know, just like the ultimate physics touch-based game, you know, that would help something like this take off.
You can call it touchy-feely.
It is touchy-feely. Andy loved that one.
That was good. How does this Novant Falcon, how do you move it around and stuff? Do you know what I mean?
It's okay, it's sort of like
GLaDOS. So it's got the little ball, and then it's got like three or four arms that extend.
Yeah, it's a ball attached to three arms that are attached to a base unit, sort of like almost like the three like a claw holding onto a machine.
Okay. No, I see.
And so you hold the ball attached to the three arms, which are attached to motors inside the base unit.
And the motors regulate how it moves around. So you can move it around in, you know, a certain range of motion. And then the motors regulate the resistance to your movement.
You can take a peek at it at home.novint.com. Again, that's home.novint.com. And they do have the Orange Box bundle up already with the pistol grip. Oh, I can't wait to get that. As well as a list of games that have been adapted for the Falcon controller. So, shall we move on to some reader questions today?
Let's do it.
We'll be right back.
an update from the guy who was having trouble with his Frontline's Fuel of War Steam edition, and he's given us his update.
Oh, great.
Hi, everyone. It's Mark Tobino. I just wanted to provide a quick update for the digital download story from last week. Steam ultimately offered me a, quote, one-time courtesy refund, so at least I got my money back. And like Dan, I did check several forums and Google for answers, but call me crazy or old school, but when I buy a game, I'm not looking for a treasure map that leads me to 7 sites to get a game to run. And if I have problems, I want one place where I can go for resolution. My recommendation is that any game bought digitally should come with a 30-minute trial or a 3-level limit that seems so prevalent on any demo you download today. Want to keep playing after that? Enter your CD key or have your purchase validated online. Think try before you buy. It's not perfect, granted, but neither is having me search the internet for a secret code to fix the game. The people searching for secret codes, they shouldn't be your legitimate paying consumers. Thanks for listening.
I think that's a fair idea. I mean, that's
a terrific idea.
I mean, it's what you try and avoid by trying demos, but not all games have demos, so that's, you know, not always possible. I don't know, and that seems like something that would behoove Steam to try out.
Yeah, I mean, I know this is glib. I know I'm not a publisher or a programmer or anything like that, but it seems like that shouldn't be too difficult to implement, you know, the ability to count how much time they already do that. They already know how much time you're playing a game. So, you know, and then after, you know, an hour or something like that, to be able to say, okay, what do you think? Or like the guy said, even a half hour would tell you whether or not the game is going to run or run well on your system.
Right. If they could do something where if a game has never like successfully run, you could return it, you know, or you could get your money back. I'm very glad to hear that. Huh?
You know why I like the 30 to 60 minute thing is because also you can evaluate fairly whether or not the game runs well on your system, you know, at the settings you would like. And if it doesn't, well, okay, no problem. But I think it might actually increase sales because people who don't want to buy something because they're afraid, I don't know how well this is going to run on my machine, you know. Mm-hmm. That way they don't have to worry about trying out the game. And then, you know, oh, yeah, I'm into it. An hour into a game, if you're liking it, you know, it's time to activate. Okay. Do it. Let's get on with the show.
Yeah. On the other hand, at that point, you've downloaded, you know, 10 to 15 gigs of stuff, you know. Or it depends on what game you're working with. If it's a new one, you know, that's a big download for a demo. But yeah. And that could be why they don't do it. Is there could be a prohibitive bandwidth expense.
Yeah, I'd still be willing to do it. You know, to download gigs and gigs of content, even on a demo basis. Not on a demo basis, but I wouldn't worry. Like, am I spending all this time downloading and spending all this money for something that, you know, may not even run on my system correctly? And then, like this guy says, you know, then I'm the one who has to grovel for a refund or try to find out how to make things work.
Right. I think if they do implement that, it would be something they would have to do with their own games first. And because taking a game and putting it on Steam is not like super, super easy. They do have to make some changes to the game code, which involves the publisher going through and making changes. So that would be something that the publisher would have to integrate as well. So it would take a considerable amount of doing on their part. It would be, again, it would be very cool if they could do it.
It's nice to hear that he got his refund back on Steam.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's nice that they are willing to bend the rules in cases where it's clear that somebody got screwed over.
Yeah, but well, that should be the rule, you know. Yeah. If it didn't run on your machine, we're sorry, and here you can.
Although he was saying that, you know, you shouldn't have to search around so much for answers to your problems, and there should be one place that you can go, and there really kind of is. I mean, most games have their own forum, you know, and they'll have that in the documentation.
Well, apparently he didn't read the back of the box, and he's not.
He didn't have a box,
and it's where it says this is an ARG before you play. No, just kidding. But that would be, wouldn't that be cool if like there was some sort of adventure game that you had to like complete an alternate reality game before you could even install it. You had to go through like all this crap, like you were saying, like a treasure map, like it became National Treasure.
That's a great idea.
And you freaking have to like open up the box game and like put it together, and it gives you like a map, and then you have to like, I don't know, do all this other stuff. I think you have to go steal the Constitution, and then
that would be awesome. And then they could actually hire people in various metropolitan regions to like to shoot your windows out of your home with silenced pistols.
All these kinds of crazy.
The minute you try to install the game, and you have to duck. Oh my god! Dude. And the cat's freaking out and running around in the room. You know,
gaming. That, I mean,
because it's been shot.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like, I'm just saying that's one way to do things.
Hey,
you
know, that's not every game, right?
But yeah, it's an alternate reality thing. It's like that David Fincher movie, you know, The Game.
There you go. Yeah.
They slash your tires. All right, let's have another question before we get into trouble.
All right.
Hey, PC Gamer Podcast. This is Mark Swite, aka NightWing94 on Steam. My question this week is about the rumored game Knights of the Old Republic 3. Recently, someone, a laid-off worker from LucasArts, revealed that they are working on a Lego Indiana Jones game, another Indiana Jones game, and a KOTOR project, among others. Now, I want to know, is the KOTOR project KOTOR 3, or are they working on an MMO, or do you just not know? I would really appreciate an answer, because KOTOR 1 and 2 are my all-time favorite games, and I really want to play KOTOR 3. Love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Thanks. Bye.
We all want to play KOTOR 3 as well, but there have been no announcements out of LucasArts, and it's always kind of hard to trust, you know, disgruntled employees, because, I mean, for one thing, you know, it could be games they have on the drawing board, and, you know, those things may or may not happen. It could be somebody having a little fun, you know.
Yeah.
who knows, you know? And or, you know, because if somebody gets laid off and says, "Oh, they're working," like if somebody from Blizzard got laid off and said, "Oh, they're working on you know, World of StarCraft," you know, just to mess with people, it would cause a huge headache for Blizzard, you know. So that could be a, you know, a little bit of revenge there. So it's always hard to trust these things completely.
Plus, if we told you, we'd have to kill ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh wait, is that a
that's one way to do it.
Yeah. So, we can't confirm anything there, I'm afraid. But
KOTOR, we hear what you're saying.
KOTOR 2 had some problems, though. I hope that if they're doing another one, it's they finish it.
Oh, come on, hey, dude, come on! There's Mass Effect.
There is.
Do it. What are you waiting for?
Hi guys, it's Dave from Toronto. I wrote in a few weeks ago with my problems about playing first-person games, including Nausea, and Logan was kind enough to suggest chewing ginger. Just one teensy problem with that approach, it involves chewing ginger. On the bright side, now anytime anything bad happens to me in my life, I can think to myself, at least I'm not chewing ginger. I've come up with my own solution, though. I'm playing some third-person games, and then I'm going to move on to second-person and finally work my way back up to first-person games. My question is about third-person games. I was wondering if you guys have particular types of play that you prefer to have in third-person rather than first. I find it a lot easier to just generally understand what's going on in the game because I can see myself and see what I'm doing. I remember Norm had a column a while back about how he had trouble doing parkour in first-person, and I wondered if you guys had any other difficulties along those lines with first versus third perspective. Thanks, and I enjoy the podcast.
First of all, what's second person? What's a second person perspective?
That's when you're controlling not the character you're looking at, but the one next to him.
Oh, okay.
Don't know.
Also, what's wrong with ginger? I love having ginger with sushi.
Yeah, I love
sushi. Sushi with ginger is delicious.
What's with the anti-ginger thing going on here? I get that.
And now onto the actual question.
Yeah. You know, actually, I'm terrified of Mirror's Edge because it looks like such a great game. It's exactly the kind of game that I love, but I don't want to do that in first person. I don't think I do. It's the whole idea of having jumping puzzles in a first person game. I don't need that. But I think I may be a little unique in that I like third person games because I identify more with the character when I can see him or her. You know, when I'm controlling him or her and I'm doing the whole looking over the shoulder thing. Whereas when I'm in first person, it's not as compelling for me a lot of times.
I think the times I like third person, I'm not wild about third person shooters, but I kind of eventually just forget the eyes on screen and just like look past him into the environment. I like third person view in RPGs. because I like to see what my character is wearing. You know, as I upgrade my character, I like to see new armor, new weapons, etc. You know, like with Mass Effect, it's nice to be in third person. Fallout 3, when I was playing that, very nice to be in third person. I also like third person for games that involve a lot of physical action, like parkour, because like with Assassin's Creed, you know, you like to be able to see. It's much easier to be able to judge if you're going to be able to make a jump. It's cooler to see your character grab onto a ledge.
Yeah, that's part of the fun, is watching, you know, the animations.
Or if you're you know, engaging in hand-to-hand combat, like in Oblivion, the combat in Oblivion, like the melee combat, wasn't all that interesting because all you're seeing is your character swinging your sword, you know, from first-person perspective. Meanwhile, like Assassin's Creed, you get all these fancy moves that Altair is doing as he's, you know, dancing from opponent to opponent and attacking, because you can see what he's doing. You know, if you were trying to do that in first person, you would, like, I don't get motion sickness, but I think I would get motion sickness from watching that from first person, because, you know, you would have less control over it. It just doesn't look as cool. So, Andy, how about you?
I'm sort of like you, where if it's in third person, I sort of just forget about how it's in third person. But I really did appreciate games like Max Payne, where if that wasn't in third person, it'd be a lot different, because you wouldn't see all the amazing, like, bullet shells and the ballet that is, like, sort of that game.
And, right, and the diving around.
Exactly, that's what I meant. Like, you know, he's diving, you see the gun, you see the shells. It's, like, really, really good stuff. I really enjoy games like Jedi Knight 2 and Jedi Academy and stuff, where you can switch between first and third, and there's, like, reasons to switch. So it's, like, if you're going with your lightsabers, you want to be in third. But then if you're going to go with your guns, you want to be in first. So, yeah.
After Jedi Knight 1, you know, or, you know, Dark Forces 2, who really wanted to use any weapon but the lightsaber?
Well, I mean, dude, you got some things you had to use, like the longer range stuff and the rocket launchers for. So, I don't know.
Every so often, but any time you could possibly get away with using the lightsaber. And that's why you have the lightsaber thrower, force pull, you know?
That's true.
Forget any of the weapons in that game. All you need was the lightsaber and the force.
But also, I want to let this guy know that I am working on alternatives to chewing ginger. We've got
shoving
some stuff
ginger
coming
up
in.
Your nose.
We've got some things coming in.
Like sticking it in your ears.
Feeding it to your pets. It works. We've got things that, you know, you put around your wrist. There's apparently some acupressure bands that people wear that keep you from getting nauseous. I'm testing these out slowly but surely. I should just commit a week to getting sick in games and seeing which one works. But, man, it's just not a pleasant feeling. But
you know what the most effective one is, actually, and this is something that you can do with materials around the home, is when you're playing a game, wear a blindfold.
Yeah. Okay, you got a laugh from Andy.
Yeah, thank you, Andy.
They had a whole Mythbusters about motion sickness remedies. But that was more like real motion sickness, when, you know, if you were spinning around, not so much.
But,
like,
you know, it's the
induced.
Same thing, really.
That's what I thought. I might translate.
Yeah, it is exactly the same thing.
I can't remember anything that actually worked. I think everything.
You are useless, Andy.
Yeah, but if you look it up, maybe you can find it for yourself.
Well, I am testing out these things, and I will get back to all you faithful listeners and readers.
Hey, PC Gamer, this is Blair McDonald calling from Burlington, Ontario. I wanted to call in and thank you guys for putting out a podcast on your very busy fourth week. I'm quite happy that you ignored my advice from 2 weeks ago. I also wanted to let you know, Logan, I feel your pain for finding a good adventure game. How about you name off some of your favorite adventure games from years gone past? My personal favorite was Torrent's Passage, made by Sierra Online way back in 1995. See ya.
Gosh, that couldn't be easier. Grim Fandango, probably number one.
That was mine, too.
I mean, oh, it had it all. The animation, the story, the look, the jokes, the puzzles.
The accents.
Yeah. Seriously, it had a scythe that folded up like a cane. I mean, what more do you want? Glottis? What the hell is Glottis?
And you got Glottis.
Yeah, you got Glottis.
I was never a big adventure fan. I think probably like the old Indiana Jones Fate of Atlantis game.
That was a fine adventure.
Yeah,
I'm waiting. I want to wait for the game we were talking about earlier where it's an alternate reality game before you even get to play the game. That's going to be revolutionary. There you go.
Speaking of those games, an adventure game that I liked, it's sort of adventure game, was called Missing. Did any of you play that?
Is that the one where they actually called you and stuff?
Yeah, they emailed you and you know, you had to go on websites and dig up information to help solve the disappearance of this couple. And this insane dude would also email you flash puzzles, or you had to you know, solve them. It was pretty crazy. I thought it worked really well. It was very suspenseful. Some other great adventure games that I loved? The Longest Journey.
Oh,
the absolute
yes.
Classic. Oh.
So in love.
A lot of, you know, great characters and, you know, some humor in some surprising places and a fantastic story. I also, the puzzles were really good on that one too as well. Gabriel Knight 3 is another great one. It's probably hard to find today. But the puzzles in that were superb, as well as a really well-researched story.
You really should be checking out the new Sam & Max's too if you haven't been. And of course the old ones, classic. But the new ones are really good, especially the second season is like the puzzles even are amazing. Where maybe the puzzles were a little bit monotonous sometimes, but in the last couple episodes of season 2, the puzzles were fantastic and like had really good payoffs for everything you did in the game.
I know I'm going to forget one game that I absolutely loved and then regret it as soon as we disconnect here.
I mean, of course, Monkey Island, if we haven't said that, but that's...
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's a go-to.
Especially the third one. Oh, masterpiece. Oh, yeah. The adventure game Siberia. Fantastic. Wonderful game. It made me cry. has a fantastic story, great characters, and just astounding scenarios. Just the direction and the technology that it depicts is really amazing. So I highly, 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 highly recommend that one, as well as Indigo Prophecy. Let's do playlists. Dan, what you been doing?
Well, actually, I was playing some of the original Colonization last night. which really is a very, very addictive game. And I'm also playing some of the Incredible Hulk game for review, which, you know, I'll just say it now. Don't buy it. It's a PS2 port, just like the Iron Man game. You know, Sega, please stop doing that. Please, you know, you make the 360 and PS3 versions. Give us that, if anything at all. You know, why give us a game that you can play on a PSP on your desktop? I don't want that. It's like super basic. You know, run around, punch things. I won't lie, it's a little bit fun to go smashing up a city, and you know, I'm actually kind of impressed that they can do this on a PS2. But not a good game. Actually, I'm not impressed they could do it on the PS2 because GTA 3 came out on the PS2. And that was much, much prettier than this. And I fired up Stalker a little bit. I haven't gotten that far into it. I am having a little trouble getting into Stalker. It's, you know, it's okay. I guess I'm just not at the point where it gets really good. But I'll stick with it. Mm-hmm.
How about you, Andy? What have you been up to lately?
Man, I haven't been playing anything. It's sad.
Why is What's that? Up with What's that? Your What's excuse?
What, did you have a baby?
I've just been super busy, kind of. And then, you know what happened? Busy. I took my car in to the shop. And so I work in a city like that's not Salt Lake. It's like a little bit farther away. So I have to like drive there. And like while I'm at work, I take my car to the shop to like get my brakes fixed so I can like pass inspection and keep driving safely. And they like broke a bolt or something. And they're like, we don't have this bolt. It's going to take like 2 days to get it. So I didn't have my car for 2 days. So I was like stuck in Park City for a couple days, which I didn't have my computer. And that's my excuse.
Wow. Isn't that... It's sort of like an adventure game.
You
have to find the chicken and then, you know, give it the feed so that the chicken gets off its nest and you find the key and then, you know, that kind of thing.
It was, and it was sad.
Yeah. What did you do there? Did you talk to the local folk or did you pick up a, you know,
I mostly just read PC Gamer.
Fantastic. Great answer.
No, but that's for real. I was reading the new one, or the Crisis story.
I took a break from Assassin's Creed to, I don't know why, to fire up Gears of War. And I don't get it.
Me neither, man. I didn't like that game at all.
It's like the controlling the character. It's the guy never does what I want him to do. He's always going in this direction or that, and the cover deal is just weird the way it works. I just don't get the game at all.
You know, I need to go back and take another crack at that game too, because I got, you know, maybe an hour or two in and just put it aside and never picked it back up.
The story is just and the battles are just it's just noise, constant noise, you know.
I don't know. I was enjoying it a little bit when I was playing. I was having, you know, some issues getting used to the controls, and the combat is fundamentally different from what you're used to, because you know, you can't go in, you know, guns blazing and expect to live. So it took a little bit to get used to. I do need to try it again.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys sort of had problems or getting into it, because I didn't like it at all either. And it seems like a lot of people did enjoy it. And I'm just like, were we playing the same game here? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get what people are hooking into here.
I'm not prepared to say I didn't like it, because I was having some fun with it. But
okay. Well, do you want to take some time to prepare yourself? Because we're ready.
I'm ready to admit.
I need more time to prepare to say it.
Okay.
I need to further evaluate the product.
Fair enough.
So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. In a future episode, Dan will tell us how much he didn't like Gears of War. And until then, it's your turn. Send your questions to us in MP3 format to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. That's PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com, or just call us toll-free at 877-404-1337, extension 724. And record your question there. And remember, keep it brief and keep it light on the language. You can also become a part of the PC Gamer family by subscribing to PC Gamer Magazine. Just head on over to www.gamesradar.com/PC. For the PC Gamer podcast crew, this is Logan Decker saying thanks for listening, and we're looking forward to getting together with all of you again next week.
Thank you, Logan.
Mummy 3 sucked, I admit it, but the Mummy 4 can't miss.
I thought this is the third one, or is it the fourth one that's coming in? I thought it was the third
one. Yeah, maybe it is the third one. Do you see the trailer with Jet Li and Michelle Yeoh?
No.
Fucking fantastic.
But I saw the first movie, and that was all I needed to know. That
the first movie wasn't bad.
Yeah,
No, it wasn't bad. It was funky, but it wasn't bad. The second movie was horrible.
Bad.
Andy, can you back me up, please?
I haven't seen The Mummy.
You fucking punk.
Yeah. You don't want to see it. Anyway. Okay.
I was going to do what Dan is. He's Dan's best friend.
Okay, so Vanity Fair's website, they've got a games blogger on there who his name's Ben Fritz, who tracks the business of games and their intersection with Hollywood. And he has done a blog post about Sid Meier's Colonization.
It's a Variety, not Vanity
what?
Fair. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I should start that over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering who here reads Vanity Fair.
It started with a V, ended with a Y. Okay.
So does Vixens. Sorry.
Vixen-y.
No, it just starts with a V. Vixen-y, however. Okay.
For the PC Gamer podcast crew, this is Logan Deggett. But you'll be delighted to know, just as delighted as we are, that we just hired a new editor.
Really?
But we're going to, yeah.
No.
We found him.
They don't
we
know. Does he not know yet? You should announce it.
He knows.
Yeah, oh, okay.
We've hired him. He just hasn't started yet.
Oh, word. Was that a fun process?
He looks like a particular celebrity, guess who? The Cloverfield Monster.
I just watched Cloverfield again.
He's got that weird thing with the hands where they fold over twice and end in hooks.
And he breathes out of his brain.
Yes, yeah. Which, like, we thought was a little unusual.
Brain
no,
lung.
He looks like that little hobbit dude.
Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nice guy, though. Anyway. You know, I feel like I have Amy Winehouse's emphysema. Emphysema.
Breathe, lay off the crack
breathe,
pipe, Logan.
Breathe.
I know. Did you see that video of her sucking down that crack pipe? She was like...
I deliberately go out of my way to avoid video of Amy Winehouse doing anything at all.
What was it?
Like? She was like a human Hoover. There's this video of her. Somebody's like watching her.
Dude, Link.
She's like in torn underwear and she's limping from one room of her apartment to the other. And there's underwear everywhere and all these people passed out.
It's fake. It's and a viral video. Just kidding.
She's got like a crack pipe in one hand and a bottle of wine in the other. And she lights up the crack pipe and she goes. And her eyes are crossing. It's just, holy
Link,
shit.
Links.